Great to have you with us once again for Lauren Laparca here on WLR. Another busy show on the way between now and 7. Sean Growler Daly and Kieran O'Connor are here in studio to preview Sunday's big match between Waterford and Offaly in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh. Daoiseach football captain Conor Murray on Saturday's Munster quarter-final against Tipperary. Waterford under-20 boss Ken McGrath will reflect on Wednesday's loss to Clare. And we'll also pay tribute to the late, great Mick O'Dwyer.
Mark Fitzgerald goes along. Ball drops inside to Stephen Bennett. On the end line, be policed by Paddy Smith. Stephen sends a lovely diagonal ball. This could be dangerous. Patrick Curran. Patrick with a shot, takes a shot. Goal! Brilliant goal for Waterford there. We needed a goal. We've got a goal. Patrick Curran. We said he got a few good scores when he came on earlier this year. Now he's got a crucial goal.
Yes, plenty more trills and spills to come on Sunday as Waterford and Offaly face off in the Division 1B final at a sellout Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh. Of course, it's going to be our George Corbett Mazda big match. Kieran O'Connor and Michael Ryan will be in the commentary box and our coverage starts at 1.30. Well, delighted to say that former Daoiseach and Lismore forward Sean Daly, as well as the aforementioned Kieran O'Connor, are here in our Dungarvan studios to preview Sunday's match. First and foremost, Sean, have you managed to get your hands on a precious ticket for Sunday?
I have, Tomás. I'm lucky enough that I located one, so yeah. So I'm happy anyway. Maybe not other people, but I'm certainly happy.
Yeah. What have you been hearing from people around the county about the venue, Sean?
Yeah. Look, there's the obvious, you know, unhappiness about the non-availability for Waterford players or Waterford supporters tickets. Maybe Nolan Park could have been, you know, a more suitable venue for both counties involved. But I suppose, look, the powers that be make these decisions, and unfortunately, GAA supporters now have to go along with these decisions, and that's unfortunate. You know, I would have seen people in Antrim this year at the league game, and unfortunately, they have no ticket to go. You know, so that's, you know, they're the diehard Waterford supporters. You know, so look, it's unfortunate, but I suppose it is what it is now.
Kieran, what have you made of the ticketing situation for Sunday?
Yeah, as Growler said, look, a lot of people, and I've met genuine people again who are in Belfast and who are in Mullingar, you know, and are struggling to get it. Unfortunately, it was handled badly. I think at least the participating counties should get a minimum 3,000 or 4,000 anyway. And the fact that the county board, both Offaly and speaking to Michael Dignan, they had the same problem up there, and they were notified the tickets would be out at 4, but by the time they got on, tickets were all literally all gone. Look, it is what it is. I think it shouldn't distract from the lads on Sunday. I know it's terrible for people who have been there all year and not been able to get tickets, but it's a huge game for us. Keep up that winning momentum. And I think Peter and the lads will be focused on it. The one plus, from Peter's point of view, we're playing Cork there later on. It'll be a Munster Championship feel to it, especially in the second half as the crowd pour in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh. There'll be a Championship feel about a game that otherwise you'd have been playing a challenge somewhere this weekend. And I think that'll benefit the lads going into the Clare match, because it's all about the Championship. While to win Sunday is important, Clare is the big one.
Sean, you've been following the team's progress up and down the country during the league. It didn't start well for Peter and the players in Carlow. How have they managed to turn it around and gain promotion back up to 1A?
Yeah, I suppose the simple part of it is, Tomás, that they were missing too many players, you know, and that's, you know, in a county like Waterford, you know, we don't have the depth of player that other counties might have, and that's the reality of it. That's the fact. You know, it's no coincidence that as we got our more established and better players back, that our performance has improved. So, you know, that's what I would put it down to, simply that.
Who have been Waterford's top performers during the league in your view, Sean?
I suppose you've all the usual suspects, you know, like Stephen Bennett, since he's come back, you know, has been typical Stephen. You know, you've Jamie Brown, I think, has been outstanding all through in his, you know, new position of number 11, and he brings a, outside of his natural hurling ability, you know, he brings an air of connectedness about it. Like, he connects people, and during his play, people seem to perform, and Jamie performs well, you know. So I think he's a huge player for us. Like Tadhg Na Bhfirce coming back last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, is just enormous, you know. You know, in my opinion, probably, you know, the greatest Waterford hurler, you know, that I've seen, you know, with regards the whole package, you know, skill, ability, strength, reading play, but his mindset, you know, to come back from the injuries he's come back from and to perform at the level he does, you know, that, like, there's very few hurlers in the country that would be able to do that, I would think.
Yeah, that's a massive statement, Sean. Kieran, like, how impressed were you by Tighe's comeback match against Offaly 2 weeks ago?
Unbelievable, Tomás, and as Growler touched on, like, the injuries, the cruciate can be career-ending. Two cruciates, my God, and then Aki's tendon, like, either on their own, but the comeback, but the mental strength he has. But I think Growler captured there, he has the package, you know, he's a great athlete. He's great vision, fantastic skill, he's brave, and a great head on the field. And he's a steadiness about him, a bit like Philip, when Philip was at his prime with Ant Fergal, with Ballygunner. That kind of calmness, and everyone around, he lifts everyone around. He's a leader, he's a natural leader. Virgil van Dijk does it with Liverpool, but this guy does it in spades for Waterford. I put him up one of the greatest defenders I've seen play for Waterford.
Has Billy Nolan established himself as first choice goalkeeper, Kieran, after that penalty save against Offaly?
Yeah, one would have to say it's a funny one, really, because we're fortunate to have two goalies who are vying for the one position. I'm a firm believer, whoever's number one, that you leave him the number one. The rotating goalie, whatever about rotating a player outfield, I think goalie needs to be confident. And I think Billy's confidence will be on a high from the last day. So at the moment, he's in the driving seat, and Billy is the number one for the moment, and to hold on to that jersey. But I think the fact of his performance the last day, I think goalkeepers need confidence, and Billy's confidence are up at this stage.
Sean, how important is it for both teams to pick up a piece of silverware on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's vitally important, and I think the game comes, you know, Kieran touching earlier on, it falls at a perfect time for Waterford. You know, we've a 3 week gap after the game for the Clare game, and I think just for Peter, you know, to get a bit of silverware in his first year in charge. Like, I think the last time he won the second Division 2 in the league, we got to an All-Ireland hurling final. So, you know, it's not a bad thing. You know, it can't be bad to be winning trophies in Waterford. Unfortunately, we don't experience national finals too often. So when they come around, I think, you know, it's important that we win.
Just like the start of the league, Sean, Peter Queeley still has a substantial injury list. No Conor Prunty, Austin Gleeson, Michael Kiley, Patrick Fitzgerald, Kevin Mahoney or Cormac Daly for Sunday. How concerning is that with Munster Championship just around the corner?
Yeah, look, sure. It's obviously a concern, you know, as we spoke about earlier about, you know, the depth of the squad. But, you know, I'd be fairly confident that most, if not all, of those lads might be back for Championship, you know. And but I suppose Sunday takes on a game of itself, and it's what we've available for Sunday. That's the priority now. And once that's over, you know, all those injuries can be looked at with a view to starting for against the Clare game. So, look, I suppose that it's not ideal, but again, it is what it is. We just got to go with what we have.
Kieran, in terms of Offaly, who are their main threats?
Well, obviously Offaly, I think they have a very good spine to the team. I think Dygan is really doing well now. The last day, he had enough to unplace balls, and having watched him, I was at the Dublin game in Croke Park, and I was so impressed with his free-taking. But definitely, that was off the last day. But I think his contribution around the field is immense as well, you know. Mitchell, the last day, was held pretty well, and we spoke about players who have impressed me. I think Mark Fitzgerald this year for Waterford has been unbelievable, and I think you could play in any one of the six positions, and fullback is so specialist. With Conor Prunty out, we're very fortunate to have a man who slipped in seamlessly there, because a good fullback working with Billy and Tighe outside, I think, is huge. But to answer your question, they have threat. Oisín Kelly, the last day, the wing forward, he was very impressive against Dublin. He had a poor game the last day. Now he was well marshalled, but I think if they're given scope, they're a dangerous side. But if Waterford have the same commitment they had the last day, and the real drive we had, because it was looking ominous for a while, that we were really backs to the wall stuff, but I love the attitude. There was a Peter Queeley feel about the performance, and I think if we have that on Sunday, I think it's good enough to get us over the line.
Sean, Kieran is sounding confident. What way do you call it?
Yeah, I'd be pretty much the same as Kieran, you know. Yeah, you know, Offaly, there was times the last day in Walsh Park that Offaly looked like they were going to overrun us, especially in the first 10 minutes of the second half.
With only 14 men as well after that harsh red card.
That's right, yeah. And look, it's an ALO adage, but sometimes you know you need to adapt when the man is gone off the team, and there can be that settling in period. But I think when Waterford found their feet, they dominated late on. Their fitness levels were visibly, you know, greater than Offaly's, and that's a testament to the physical training they're doing. Again, one thing about the current the team and the panel, and I think like Peter as a player was, you know, hugely, you know, honest, trustworthy, loyal, you know, dependable, you know, carries himself with great integrity, you know, and I think, you know, Peter has brought that this year. The players have recognised that, and I think they've definitely bought into it, you know, and their qualities, just human being qualities that Peter has and possesses naturally, and I think that's a huge factor this year, that Peter has brought that.
Lads, this fixture Waterford and Offaly brings back memories of the All Ireland Under 21 final back in 1992. Sean, you were part of that, the draw and replay down in Nolan Park. You scored a hat trick the first day out. How much of a thrill was that?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, sure, it was great. Yeah, winning the replay was probably the abiding memory we have. You know, it's not instances within that I remember. The overall abiding memory I have is the full time whistle, and everywhere you looked, there was war for people with smiles on their faces. It just brought so much joy, you know, to people. At the time, we didn't appreciate what we'd done, really, you know. But even in coming back to Ballybricken and into Dungarvan to the homecomings, it was, you know, it's just the overall joy that Waterford winning in Ireland brought, and that's my overriding memory of it.
Kieran, your memories of the atmosphere in Nolan Park, there was 28,000, according to newspaper reports, and the scenes at full time as well.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. As Growler said, like Waterford, we'd been starved. Like, you have to go back to 63 since we won anything of consequence. Okay, the under-21s won the Munster in 74. But what the lads brought that summer, and we'd back on from the minor won a fantastic Munster final, beating the All-Ireland final. But the 2 days in Nolan Park or in Kilkenny were just unbelievable. I said before we came on air, there was a feel of thoroughness about it from early morning, and the drawn game was massive, and Growler's 3 goals that day should have been enough to get us over the line. Fortunately, it didn't. But to come back the next day and do it was just brilliant. And the joys and the scenes, and people in Kilkenny who've seen a lot of big games up there say that it was one of the greatest days in Kilkenny, you know, both the draw and the replay. And what it meant to the people of Waterford, and the lift to give everyone, because a huge work going on for decades, and we've suffered the big defeats in 82 and 83 and 89, and then to come on and get this, what that lift it gave. The disappointing thing in my point of view was that if Gerald McCarthy had come in the following year, I think we could have had a great 90s, but that's for another day. But I think the lift they gave us and the welcome home and Ballybricken that night, I remember as well, and in the square here in Dungarvan, will never be forgotten for anyone that was there.
And that was your first year doing the big match on WLR, Kieran?
Yeah, thrown in at the deep end. I had done the minor match, and then we had the under-21, and then the replay. So my first 3 games were 3 All-Irelands. I thought, this is brilliant. And we're waiting for a few years after that to get back there. But it was unbelievable altogether, you know. And I remember for the second game, Mihal Amorhurtig, the late Mihal, who was my hero, I think, a brilliant man altogether. And he said, I didn't see you down in the dressing room. And I said, no, I said, you had the team. No, he said, never do a game without visiting the dressing room. He said, you smelled the wintergreen. He said, you talk to players, you'll get some nuggets. But also you have become a player, because you have to call it as it happens, as against writing up about it after the game.
Great advice, Sean. I'm sure you're still friends with not only your Waterford teammates, but some of your rivals from Offaly to this day.
Yeah, absolutely. I made good friends with Johnny Troy afterwards and Brian Whelan. So yeah, you'd be in touch with him. You'd see him every now and again, you know, but you wouldn't be meeting him up. But when you'd see him, like, I'm sure if they're at the game Sunday now, I'd see him, or down through the years when Waterford went to Tullamore for the league games, I would have met up with him for a few 7-ups before the game, maybe. Yeah.
I'm sure it might be a bit stronger than 7-up, Sean. Who do you, in terms of the 1A final, Sean, between Cork and Tipperary at 4 o'clock, who do you fancy in that?
Yeah, first of all, I'd say they're the two counties that probably took the league seriously this year, so there's no coincidence that they're in the final. I think I think Cork are probably in a better place, or further down the line than Tip at the minute. I think like Cork look very impressive in all their games. You know, they've bought a big physicality where there might have been question marks about that in over the last 3 years, and I think their management have certainly addressed that. But look, a team with Liam Kyle in charge of them, as we know, will have, you know, plenty of fire and brimstone about them and commitment. So, look, it'll be hopefully a good game. I could see Cork coming out on top by 4 or 5 points, though.
Kieran, what way do you see that going?
Yeah, just before we finish on the under 21, it's ironic Sunday. There's direct contest, as Growler mentioned, about Johnny Try. His nephew is in goal. And then from Waterford, Tom Fife's nephew, Gavin, is part of the panel. And of course, Anthony Fife is Sherald, who was wing forward on that under 21 team. His son Patrick, part of the Waterford panel. So it's amazing that whole 30 years on, there is a connection. As regards Sunday, like, I'd agree with Growler as regards the two best teams are in it, two teams that took and have played some brilliant hurling. Cork at home will be hot favourites. And I think this year, people, my friends in Cork, now alone will live in Leinster, they'll win Munster, win the All Ireland. I think the only one will be Cork if they get carried away too much. But they are the form team. Brian Hayes, there's a doubt about him and not quite sure how serious his injury. But on form, you'd say Cork, but. Liam Cahill would love to bring a bit of silver. He's under a bit of pressure over in Tip and he'd dearly love to win. It promised to be a great game and hopefully we'll be celebrating after the first one when we sit down to watch the second one.
Fingers crossed. Sean, I can't leave you go without asking about the €44,000 that has been raised for Brian Green and Waterford Hospice as well. You are part of the organising committee, the Friends of Brian Green, that arranged the challenge match between Waterford and Cork. How much of a difference will this money make to Brian and his family as well as the hospice?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose just on Brian, like, it's already made a huge impact on him. Like, yes, the financial, you know, the easing of his financial pressure and the mental pressures that brings, you know, that alone, plus, you know, it'll help with his medical expenses. But I think what can't be measured really is the fillip that Brian got from the actual game itself, you know, from seeing the people there turning out for him and supporting him and his family, you know, his wife and two kids were there, sorry, his partner and two kids were there. You know, it brought him, we were having a meal afterwards and he sat down and like he kind of looked to me and said, like, I just can't believe that all these people came out for me. You know, so that's immeasurable, you know, that sense of support from people that he would have given great joy to over the year, you know, and just on behalf of the committee, I'd just like to thank, you know, everybody who helped in any way, you know, from the radio to, you know, to the press, national press that got involved, to people who gave coffees, to direct the traffic on the day, you know, just immense to many. But again, it's a symbol of the GA and who we are as a group, and we support one of our own, and Brian Green was definitely one of those.
Sean Daly and Kieran O'Connor, an absolute pleasure to have you in the Garvan studios today, and we'll see you up in Parky Cueve on Sunday.
Thanks to us.
Thanks to us.
Tyke de Burke reads as well, out in front of his marker, inside his own 65. Will he go for a long one? Just outside his own 65. It's wind assisted and it's gone over the bar. Welcome back, Tyke de Burke. Inspirational point.
Now you're hurling Lorna Porca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
Well, the Waterford Minor Hurlers seek back-to-back wins in the Munster Championship this evening. Following last week's 2-point win over Tipperary, the Daisha have named an unchanged lineup. Throw-in is coming up very shortly in Capoquin Logistics for her field, and Jordan Norris will have updates here on WLR. Daisha boss James O'Connor is looking for a big home crowd.
I'd be very disappointed as a Waterford man if we don't fill the Fraher Field next Friday night. You know, I'd be pushing every single genuine Waterford supporter to turn out next Friday night, no matter what, and get these lads over the line. It's so important for Waterford hurling that we have good minors coming through. You know, we don't have, you know, the number of players that the likes of the Corks and the Tipperarys have. And when we have a good team, we should really get behind them. So I'm hoping for a massive, massive turnout for next Friday night.
Now you're hurling Lorna Porca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
Well, the Waterford footballers will be looking to repeat their heroics of 12 months ago when they tackled Tipperary on Saturday in the Munster quarter final at Semple Stadium. It will be our George Corbett Sayat big match here on WLR. I'll be joined on commentary by former Daisha forward Liam O'Lanon, and our coverage starts at 5:45. The Daisha team will line out as follows: Paddy Hunt between the posts, a full backline of Quivín Welch, Darragh O'Cossig and Liam Fennell, Willie Beresford, Brian Everard and Dermot Ryan make up the half-back line. At midfield, Tollum Guiry and Rory Furlong. Half-forward line, Conor Murray, James Power and Conor O'Corrine. And the Daisha inside line, Michael O'Brien, Jason Curry and Alan Dunwoody. Well, earlier in the week, I caught up with Waterford captain Conor Murray and asked him firstly for his thoughts on the Division 4 campaign.
I suppose from a results point of view, yeah, Tomás, it would be disappointing given that we finished bottom of the league. But I think we learned a lot, especially as the league went on. The first few games, we were kind of getting used to the new rules like everybody else, given that we didn't have any McGrath Cup or pre-season competitions this year. It was difficult to prepare. And then the way the fixtures panned out as well, one of our games was cancelled due to the weather. So we actually ended up playing the first 5 weeks on the trot, which was challenging enough. It didn't really give a week to kind of reset and look at maybe where we were going wrong in certain areas and look at some learnings from that. But I think recent games have shown, in particular London, where we got our first win, and the first 55-60 minutes against Limerick were also very positive as well. We were only 3 points down with 15 minutes left to go in that game. So, yeah, I think, look, overall, as I said, results-wise, you wouldn't be too happy. But performance-wise, there has been improvements, which is all you can ask for.
You were away for last year's inter-county season, Conor. Whereabouts were you when Waterford beat Tipperary in last year's Munster Championship?
I was in Sydney. I was in Sydney listening to it on the radio. The game wasn't being streamed, so I got up and I listened to the second half of it. And it was great. It was great to get the win. They're few and far between in Championship. So, yeah, no, I did miss it. I missed it then, especially when the lads got over the line. I kind of had a small sense of what that might feel like from when we beat Wexford back in 2018. So, yeah, that's where I was.
Yeah, were there kind of mixed feelings? Like, obviously delighted for the lads, but maybe a little bit disappointed to miss out as well?
Yeah, I suppose that's only natural. You'd love to be there, like, but the main feeling was I was delighted for the lads. Like, I'd played with a lot of them lads for the last 7 or 8 years, and they've been through some tough days, both at home and on the road. So I was delighted for the lads. It was great for likes of Mike and Jason, Derek, Sean Whelan Barrett, Paddy. There's lads there on the road a long time, and there's not much success, so it was great to see him get over the line.
Where did you go on your travels last year, Conor, apart from Sydney?
I went to Australia for a few months, and then we got into Southeast Asia on the way home, so Bali, Thailand, Vietnam, Dubai. We actually went to New Zealand as well as a start for a month, so I've seen a lot of the world in the short time we were away.
How enjoyable was all that?
It was great. Yeah, it was nice to just reset. Every year was kind of, it was full on between work and football. The football season was quite long, given that we got to the last 5 or 6 county finals. So it was nearly all year round for a few years there. There was no break at all. So it was nice to just reset and see a bit of the world as well, give you a bit of perspective. And now coming back, be completely refreshed and mad to get stuck back into it.
And like, you started out on your senior inter-county career, Conor, in 2016. You've only missed one season since then. What brings you back to the field once again in 2025?
I suppose when I came home from Australia, I wasn't really in any doubt that I was going to go back. I enjoyed the whole setup when you are in, and it's a high-performance environment. You know, regardless of results, like, you're trying to do everything right and everything is there provided for us from November right through to whenever we finish up. So I just love being part of that setup and challenging myself at the highest level that we can possibly play football in Waterford. And that's kind of what brought me back, and just trying to drive things on and keep the flag flying for the young lads that are coming through as well. There's lots of good work being done underage there with the minors in recent years, and the under-20s again this year have stepped things up again. So it's just about trying to keep putting things on and being part of that.
What would be a good championship for the Waterford footballers in your view, Conor?
I think you have to look at a win in Munster. It's definitely it's an achievable target, and it'll be something we'll be setting our eyes on against Tipperary. You know, from last year, the lads were well capable of that. In the league as well, this year we were very disappointed with our performance against Tipperary. We started well, but we fell away towards the end of that game. I'd be saying to try get out of the group in the Tailteann Cup as well. That would be considered a successful championship campaign.
Lorna Porca with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
So to pay tribute to legendary Kerry player and manager Mick O'Dwyer, delighted to be joined in line now by former Daisha boss John Jackson Kiley. John, how will you remember Mick O?
Remembering the same as everybody else, Tomás, as you know, probably the greatest, not probably, the greatest manager in the history of the game. Not just because he won so many titles in Kerry, but what he done in Kildare and in Laois and in Wicklow with the weaker counties, the way he rose the game in those counties, and the way he got players, in some cases, to play above themselves and to achieve success was extraordinary. He was an icon, and there'll never again be another guy like Mick O.
What made him such a good manager, John?
I think what made him such a good manager, if you take into account when before, I think the first real inter-county manager was Kevin Heffernan the year before, where he came on board and got Dublin to win the All-Ireland. You know, he got young guys like the Blue Panther, you know, and David Hickey, the wing forward, and all those brilliant young fellas on that Dublin team. And the old fella got Jimmy Keaveney back out of retirement and won the All-Ireland in 74. And then the cute Kerry boys were looking at this and they said, yeah, that's what we need. Before this, it was a selection committee where there was maybe 7 or 8 guys. And there was a lot of, you know, that creates an awful mess where you have too many fellas on the selection committee. So you have one guy, the book stops with him, and he can pick a few guys then to... for his, you know, selectors or whatever. So they got Mick O on board, and the rest is history, as they say. He went on in 75 to ambush Dublin in the All-Ireland, and of course then Dublin and Kerry had those great games in 76 and 7 where Dublin came out on top, and then in 78 and 9 where Kerry crushed Dublin with that super team they had at the time. But Mick O got the backbone of that Kerry team was all young fellas like Pat Spillane, Power Party, O'Shea, Ogie, and all the other great lads that were on that panel at the time, you know. And maybe a skeptic could say, yeah, sure, it was easy to win in All Ireland with those fellas, but what you have to take into account, a lot of those lads have egos, and the problem with an ego can run wild. So you need a guy with charisma in the room too, right? Identify all the guys what they need, how to rub them up the right way or take them down the peg or two. And Mick O'Dwyer just had charisma. Like, he could talk to anybody. He was a people's man. He could talk to anybody. I suppose he was a cute Kerry whore. That's H-O-O-R. But he was good with people. He was great with players. He loved the game of football. He absolutely loved the game. He told me once his favourite time of the year was late spring and early summer, the smell of the grass and the smell of the freshly mown grass and the smell of the leather of the football. That's all he wanted. He just absolutely loved the game of football. And he loved people. He loved his exchanges with ordinary people in the bar or in the hotel. He was just a good person and good with people, yeah.
Did you ever come across him on the sideline, John?
Oh, God, I did many times when he was with Wicklow. Because I was with Waterford at the time, he was with Wicklow. And they beat us. I remember they beat us over there in Ockram. Jesus, is an awful fortress for Wicklow. It's a hard place to come out of. And they beat us by a couple of pints in a tremendous match one day up there in the semi-final. I think if memory serves me right, says me hollow hair, I think it was 1917 in pints. I remember Wayne Hennessy having a super game the same day. We had an absolutely, it was a brilliant match. It was a game we should have won, but we didn't win it, and they won it, and they went on. They won the Murphy Cup that year. And it was actually the same day that after French was involved, he was the man that got he was the man with the money behind Wicklow, and he got that time, you know, a manager had to be, there was somebody set up to pay the expenses. Like, this guy was driving from Kelly up to Wicklow for training sessions 3 or 4 nights a week, you know, and it was after I got him down. I got many chats on the sideline with him, and as well as that, and other times as well, you know.
Well, John Jackson Kiley, thanks a million for taking our call today and paying a lovely tribute to the late, great Mick O'Dwyer.
Well, I'll tell you, Tomás, there will never be another Mick O'Dwyer, and may the sod of Kerry rest lightly on a very proud Kerry man.
Lorne Napurka with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
Well, Waterford Camogie are on the lookout for a fifth senior manager in 6 seasons after parting ways with Jerry Wallace on Thursday night. The Cork man led the Dacia to the Munster final and All-Ireland quarter-finals in 2024. Waterford retained their Division 1A status last weekend with victory over Tipperary in Welsh Park. The Dacia Camogie board said in a statement that a new management team will be in place very shortly, and they wish Jerry the very best on his retirement from coaching.
Now you're hurling. Lorne Napurka with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.
Well, the Waterford under-20 hurlers lost to Clare by 218 to 17 points in their Munster Championship opener in Dungarvan on Wednesday night. Mark Hartley hit 9 points for the home side, while Jack Toomey got 3 from play. 6 wides from frees proved costly, however, as Clare came away with their first win of the campaign. After the game, I got the thoughts of Dacia boss Ken McGrath.
The first half, we first 10-12 minutes, we were probably cagey enough, and I think for the last 15-20 minutes, we probably dominated the game, and we were, was it 2 points up or a point up with a minute ago, and we gave away a free, and they got a goal, and look, we went in 2 points down, and we'd done a lot of hurling for probably half of that half without getting probably a true reflection on the scoreboard, and that's probably been our Achilles heel over the last year. What did we get? Was it 9 or 10 points at half time? And I think we left probably at least 6 or 7 scores behind us that any other day, which we did all year in our challenge game so far, you're putting them over. Look, in saying that, the boys, we were down Feaker then with a black card, which a rule I didn't know was actually none of us knew, to be honest with you. And for that 9 or 10 minutes that Feaker was down, the lads played super hurl and got us back in the game. And look, they're a top class team. We know where we are in the pecking order in Munster, but definitely it's a game I felt we were right in it, and we just didn't get the scores to really show some of the good hurling we played.
He had six missed frees in total, Ken, 4 of those in the second half. How costly did they prove in the end?
They did. Look, in all fairness, Mark is only 17, Mark Hartley. I think he got 2 or 3 points in play. He's a super hurler. He put them frees normally over with his eyes closed, but there was a swirly breeze there, Tomás. You're playing into a fair breeze. Normally the breeze is going down towards the river, but it was going the opposite way, and they were hard enough. But look, they're costly. I think they missed 1 free. So that was probably was a bit of a sign in the second half. If they went over, we had a chance to level the game, I think, in the 49th minute. A mistake then, they ran through us. And look, it's at this level, against this standard of teams, you make a mistake, you're going to get punished. But to be honest with you, I thought Joe MacDonald was only 17. Fikre Cooney, 3 17 runs were super tonight, you know. I thought they really stepped up, and they have huge futures ahead of them.
What was the message to the players in the dressing room?
I suppose it's the fifth time, as we were saying, it's the fifth time talking after a loss. It's hard, but I'd be a lot more upbeat than other defeats we had last year. I felt there was passages of play in that game that we were more than comfortable. We were playing some very good hurling without getting the scores. And that's, look, yeah, at this level you have to get scores. What do we get, 17 points? As we're harping on all year that we have to be getting 21, 22 points. And if you get that, you're going to be in the game. But look, unfortunately, I suppose we had a wicked chance in the first half, Ben Sullivan, who looked very sharp, and a brilliant save from the keeper. And that would have put us 2 or 3 points ahead and given you that lift, you know. But look, unfortunately, we have to dust ourselves down and go again. But overall, look, I'd have to take the positives from it. Clare are a very good team. And we feel, look, we've a huge chance, a huge task ahead against Limerick next Wednesday, but it's a huge chance to get back on and get a first win for a couple of years and drive it on, you know.
What's the goal for this year's Munster Championship, Ken?
Look, the goal, I'll be honest with you, we would have targeted this game. We expected to win this game. We know Clare are good, but we felt we prepared as good as any team. But look, unfortunately, we didn't. But now it's to dust ourselves down and try and get that win. And it might be maybe a monkey on I say players' backs at this stage, but I want them to go out and perform just to show the level that they can perform to. And I think we saw patches tonight. We still didn't see 60 minutes. When we see 60 minutes, they'll be a dangerous animal. But we need to see 60 minutes, and we need to see it fairly soon. But there was patches tonight that showed, look, that these lads enjoyed that championship fair, and they were comfortable under pressure, and they were good at working the ball out. I said down to 14 men, and but look, it's you have to take the positives from it. Tomás, Munster Championship was cutthroat. Every team is up to a standard that you have to try and reach, and we're probably in the pecking order of Munster. We know where we are, but we're under no illusions that we get a win next Wednesday, the whole thing could change.
What sort of a test will you get off Limerick here next Wednesday, Ken?
Ah, look, we know we Andy was at the Limerick game there last week. We went to the Cork Clare game, and look, they're faster. They're a good team. A bit of a shock to be a tip, all right. But we'll have to. Our sole focus was on Clare, to be honest with you, up to now, Tomás. It's a short turnaround. We'll have to analyse that Limerick tip game and see where we can pick holes in them and see what we can do. And that's what we do. We've prepared. We always prepare for every team we play against the best we can, and we'll be the same against Limerick. But it's just, look, we have to get over this one first, and we go up tomorrow and go again.
How good was that save from Alex Reid in the first half, Ken? That ball looked destined for the top corner.
Yeah, brilliant save. I thought Alex was decent on the goal at times in the second half against the Breeze. I suppose he was limited in his options where he could go with the ball, but I thought he was good overall. And I suppose the save from the clear keeper in the first half was excellent as well. From Ben done everything right, low. I suppose Alex's one was the opposite. It was a top corner. It was a great save. But no, some good displays from a lot of the lads. It's just we have to be more clinical, and we have to. I suppose when we're in games, that we have to get more scores on the board to give us the chance of, say, we're playing for patches in games, but it's not reflecting on the scoreboard at all.
That's all for this week's edition of Lorna na Páirce. Thanks a million for your company. As always, slán go fóill.
Now you're hurling Lorna na Páirce with Tomás McCarthy on WLR.